And Dr. J. Craig Allen, Hartford Healthcare Addiction Medicine Doctor, will talk about South Windsor. Yes, joining towns in looking to change minimum age of tobacco purchases, and states that more and more Connecticut towns are looking into making it illegal for teens to buy cigarettes and other products. And this is going to be very, very big here. Hartford Healthcare Addiction Medicine Doctor J. Craig Allen believes it's a positive trend. One of the things raising the smoke age is it takes the cigarettes and it takes the nicotine products out of the hands of high school seniors. So again, doctor, good morning, good morning.
Good morning to you. Thank you for having me on.
It's great having you here. And my first question, and my partner Paul is here with mm-hmm. me too, but my first question is, why did everybody wait so long? Why didn't they do it a long time ago?
That's a really good question. I think that we would have saved a lot of people the trouble of developing an addiction to nicotine, addiction to tobacco, if we'd have done this a few years ago. It seems to me to be a very straightforward kind of thing. We did it with alcohol back in the 80s, and when we did it with alcohol, we reduced car crashes related to alcohol with young drivers by over 60%. It seems very clear and obvious that if you make it harder for young people with brains that aren't fully developed and are more vulnerable to addictive substances like nicotine to get their hands onto nicotine, then you're going to have less of a problem with people transitioning to having an addiction. You know, 96% of people who have an addiction to nicotine, to cigarettes, started smoking, started using before the age of 21.
Wow. Dr. Allen, let me pose something here. Let me play devil's advocate, and I do agree with what you're doing, but let me play devil's advocate here. And you probably have heard this argument. And I've done shows for years, and I've heard people say, well, yeah, the health aspects are all well and good, but, you know, in the United States, you can join the military at 18. You can carry a gun for this country. You can be shot at or kill somebody at 18. You can legally get married. You can own a business. You're considered, for all intents and purposes, an adult at 18. You can vote at 18. Why shouldn't an 18-year-old be able to buy nicotine products?
Well, I don't want this to get in a debate
other
issues.
Yeah, yeah.
But those are all wide open. If you want to look at the neurobiology, mm-hmm. which is what I do, and I'm a child and adolescent psychiatrist
sure.
as well,
yeah.
the brain, the prefrontal cortex, the part of the brain that makes decisions, that weighs pros and cons, that says, well, wait a minute, I've got to get up and go to school tomorrow, or the adult brain says, I got to pay my mortgage, I got to take care of my kids, I got to get to work. That part of the brain is not fully developed maybe till you're 25 years old mm-hmm. in males, maybe a little bit older in females. And so the argument is, and the science is, that before that part of the brain is developed, two things happen. One, that's the part of the brain that might say, no, I don't really want to keep smoking cigarettes, or I don't want to have a beer, or I don't want to have another beer. But also that's the part of the brain that can be damaged and slowed down in its development mm-hmm. if you're exposed to many and probably all addictive substances. So that's the argument. But I think you've got an interesting point, which is we might make that argument for other dangerous
sure.
things.
Sure, we did for alcohol.
We certainly did for alcohol.
Yeah, yeah.
And this isn't a conversation about guns, but one wonders if your prefrontal cortex is the part of your brain mm-hmm. that inhibits impulses and those quick knee-jerk responses that we often see both emotionally and behaviorally with adolescents, then maybe we should be considering putting dangerous things into their hands. And as adults with presumably fully formed and fully developed brains, we have a responsibility to our children. And our children, there's no magic that says, oh, when you're 18, you're not a child anymore. In fact, the biology says you may still be a child. You don't have a fully developed brain. You're smart, you're strong, you're quick, but that the wisdom center in the part that weighs pros and cons and the part that has experience isn't fully developed.
Well, I'm 57, and I'm still developing that wisdom center. So.
Yeah, me too, every day.
You know, Bloomfield was the first one. Bloomfield, Wallingford, East Hartford, and there are many that are exploring this, and I think within the next year or two, or year and a half perhaps, everybody will be back doing it. You wait and see.
I'd love to see it. It's happened in Massachusetts. It's happened in New York. It's happened in California. It's been a very recent change in Massachusetts, but the data from New York and California looks very promising in reducing underage smoking rates.
Doctor, in the few minutes we have left, or about the minute we have left, you must be distressed, I would imagine, at the amount of vaping. Brad and I were talking about this earlier
Absolutely.
In the week.
Vaping is
terrible. With this purely concentrated nicotine, they call it juice, and it's flavored. And I got to tell you, I have friends of mine who still have kids in high school and leaving for college, and they say, you know, it's worse now with the vaping thing than it was when they were high school, and, you know, you'd sneak an occasional cigarette at lunchtime.
Oh, absolutely, positively. We're, you know, what the studies show is that vaping leads to a greater rate of smoking. And so although teenage smoking rates have been going down, they may now start to go up because of vaping, because of Juuls, because of these e-cigarettes. And if these laws don't apply also to those, we might not get much movement on the needle here. That has to apply to all nicotine products. That's the way they get in the schools. Parents think, oh, it can't be harmful. It's green apple flavored, or it's fruity pebble flavored.
Yeah, that's right. It sure is.
This is a marketing strategy to develop a whole new population of smokers.
Absolutely.
They transition to cigarettes because they develop a tolerance to the effects of the nicotine, and cigarettes give them more of that nicotine. So it's ironic, right? This device that was marketed and presented to adults who are heavy smokers as a way to stop smoking, and maybe it does and maybe it doesn't work, the data's not all in, actually it develops new smokers in a younger population.
That's what's happening.
Yep.
Well, we thank you so much for being with us, and this is something that is going to be hitting all of us soon, and delighted, Dr. Allen, that you were able to spend some time with Paul and myself this morning.
Happy to do it. Do it anytime. Thank you for having me on. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
Thanks, Doctor. Call us up anytime.
Okay.
Dr. J. Craig Allen, Hartford Healthcare Addiction Medicine. Doctor, you know, I have a friend of mine we used to work with in radio years ago, but we keep in touch on Facebook, and I posted a Facebook article once about these Juul, you know, electronic cigarettes.
Yes.
And she responded about 2 minutes later. She said, "Oh my God, I think her kids are, her oldest is in high school around the Waterbury Prospect area." She said, "Oh my God, this is such a problem." She said,
"It's
in my son's school."
Huge.
She said, "All these kids." She goes, "I go to pick them up, and I see them all, you know, vaping, doing the juice
all of
and
them.
Everything."
Yeah. Yeah.
And Brad, it's, again, it's not like, you know, when people grow up.
You know why they're doing it, too? They think it's showy,
too. Well, they think it's cool, yeah. But again, they're getting hooked on, you know, they're not just smoking cigarettes with the tar and everything in the cigarette. This is pure liquid nicotine.
That's right.
That they're putting in their bodies.